It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Ben, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
So, hi, I'm Jacob, a.k.a. Psionic Entity. I'm the current admin and build lead for the upcoming server Engines of Ascension.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian of the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 198th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the MMO from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, this is a very interesting episode. Several years ago, we took over the Neverwinter Nights podcast from Jay and Trey. It was episode 133, and we have been rejoined by the gentleman Jacob, Psionic Entity, also known as, to do our last episode. Last studio recorded episode. We'll be on the road the next week at Gen Con Game Fair 2014, and yes, it's pretty awesome. So, Jacob, thanks for coming back on the show at the other bookend.
Oh, thanks, Brian. I'm glad to be here.
Yep, but really glad to have you. You know, first of all, why don't you get started, remind the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into Neverwinter Nights. It's been years since you've been on the show.
Yeah, it has.
So, if you don't mind getting into that a little bit and tell the audience about how you got into everything.
Oh, sure. A bit about me. I'm right now I'm a 23-year-old PhD student doing studying math. So I've always been a little into programming, into numbers, into things like that. I started Neverwinter Nights 2 actually right on the release date. First day the game came out, I bought it. I had played the original Neverwinter Nights with some friends. I got this game, logged into a PW, and loved it immediately. And ever since then, I've been about 6 or 7 years now. I've been building and coding for Persistent Worlds. What I was talking about last time I was on the show was Legacy Dark Age of Britain, which was a project for a PW set in a sort of Arthurian times. I worked very closely with Troy, who was also on the show back then, but now he's out of Neverwinter Nights, and he's apparently a family man, last I've heard, so he's doing good. And we shut that server down last August, so now I'm working on a new project called Engines of Ascension. It's a little more single-player focused, a little more engine-focused, fast-paced gameplay kind of thing, and it's also a steampunk setting as opposed to the Arthurian setting I used last time. So that's just a little teaser of what I'm going to talk about later in the show.
Awesome. Well, you've been, I feel stupid. 23-year-old PhD student in math. Here I am with my measly bachelor's degree in math and computer science.
Well, I don't have it yet.
Oh, well, still. Yeah, it's awesome to get started. And, you know, yeah, it's really great how you working on the new server. You know, it's awesome and how you got into everything and from day one. I mean, literally from day one got into the Neverwinter Nights 2 environment, and I don't know. That's just awesome to hear how fast you got into everything.
I pretty much learned to program using Neverwinter scripts. It's been that long.
Well, you wouldn't be the first person to learn programming from that. Several developers that I've worked with, you know, that's how they learned how to actually program was Neverwinter scripts.
Yeah, learn by doing. There's plenty of stuff there to look at. It's all working. You build it up from there.
Yeah, and it's a really great basis for people who want to get into some kind of a coding background or, you know, to do other things, because it really is, it translates very well to anything, to a lot of other environments.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned a bit that you've switched over servers, plots, or that. Can you please get into a little bit of that or give us a heads up of what's gone on since your last visit?
Oh, sure. Ever since last visit was 2.5 years ago, we had just launched this new Persistent World Legacy. It was based heavily around tons and tons of DMing. Everything in the world could be affected by players, and we would really drive this complete customization push. That was our goal with the server. And since then, we actually took a break about a year in. I released something called Legacy 2, which was a complete overhaul of the class and magic system. Every feat, every spell was completely custom. We did this whole new leveling system and all that. For me, it was a very intense thing. But for the players, it was just sort of another content update. 2.5 years or so into development, we started winding down. Our admin, Troy, who had, at that time had some duties that I personally didn't want to take on, you know, he got married, was going to have a kid. So we started to have less time for the server. And eventually we just sort of realized that we didn't have new blood and old blood was sort of slowly trickling out. So we decided to close our doors rather than leave an empty server up online. So kind of a sad ending to a server, but we had great times, made a lot of friends that I still talk to, and a lot of people that I've been talking to about this new server too. They're going to come back for a little while, giving it a try.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. How, as far as the community, how did they take the shutdown of Legacy? Was it
At the time, we pushed it longer than it should have gone, I think, really. So I don't think anyone was really surprised when we decided to pull the plug.
Okay.
At that point, we had sort of reached a point where there was no reason to play for the PW aspects. Like, there was no reason to go on and get experience and items, because all the advancement in the server was through politics, through these intense DM sessions and, you know, leading armies and things like that. And it just got to a point where we were basically playing, you know, with 7 DMs and like 10 players, and all the DMs were players, and it got very small and tight knit, and it became more like a Risk game than an actual sort of MMO type, you know, hack and slash adventure sim. So at that point, it was really kind of closed down on its own, because there was not a lot to do for new players, not a lot to do when you logged in. So, you know, people stopped logging in then.
Wow. Yeah, I get that's true. I mean, what you've done was awesome to begin with. And, you know, for what time you were up, I mean, you guys really knocked it out. And, you know, I don't know. I've only heard good things about your server. And
well, we heard great things all through. But it was, I guess, in a lot of ways, it was unsustainable what we were trying to do, because you had to have fun at the end, you had to have some power, you had to be affiliated with these noble houses, and you had to really, you know, be in the DMing aspect. So people who were new, who didn't have so much time to deal with the DMs, kind of got left out. And it, like, actually the biggest problem that I took away from that was that you make a server where the new player experience deteriorates over time, and your server's got a lifeline to it. It's got a limit on how long it'll last, I think.
Yeah.
I think we hit that limit with Legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, I don't know, I think what you did was really good, the way you set everything up. But you're right, I mean, there could be, you ran into a sustainability issue. However, that's experience that you got now, and how you can translate that to whatever else you're going to work on in the future. If you want to try something different, at least you know what could possibly be an outcome. And that kind of segues into the next question. It's been about 2.5-3 years since our last interview. Can you go into details about your new server and, you know, what you've been working on and all that good stuff about it?
Sure. So I actually went back to the drawing board by myself, didn't have any staff members or anyone else to sort of influence this. And I thought, okay, what can I do now with this, you know, game's not so big as it used to be, and I want to make a server. What can I do to make it different, make it better? And I actually thought about how you guys did Realms of Trinity. I thought, you know, having a really good single player playable campaign would be a good thing, and maybe I would add to it over time, so that as the server matured, when new players came in, they would get an even better experience than when the first new players came. And through the development process that I've been going for about half a year now on this new server, the philosophy has been, over time, the server just has to get better for the new players logging in. That's the rule, and that's what I'm going to stick to. So that's sort of what I took away from Legacy. But on top of that, I'm really big on custom content. I'm making a completely custom engine, custom abilities, UI, and all sorts of stuff like that to make it almost its own game in its own right. And then with those two things in mind, it's going to be sort of a campaign that you go through. You're going to be able to play this from when you log in. And then PW aspects that are similar to the ones I had on Legacy or on other servers are going to be built in afterwards, and we built it on top of that, so that there's always this consistent underlying basis of a campaign that a player can play, things they can do when they're online.
Yeah, as far as the background, you're not going to be sticking with Forgotten Realms. You're going to be doing something unique again, correct?
Yeah, I've created a new campaign setting. It's
awesome.
It's very basic. It's not one of those campaign settings you could read a book on. It's got fantasy races. So far I've just taken elves, dwarves, gnomes, and humans from Forgotten Realms and sort of repurposed them a little bit. So very, very basic, just, you know, it's got fantasy races. There's a couple landmarks that you'll notice right away. The first one is that the entire thing is set up in a big steampunk city called Kalidor, which is like a sort of a New York, London kind of center of the world city. People living there, you know, they think they're the center of the world, and a lot of ways they are. Very, very big, important city, and that's where most of the campaign takes place. And the city's got its own sort of its own zones. There's like the sewers, which kind of act like swamps and places you can go to find monsters of all sorts. Got your trade district where you got all the shops and your sort of main city aspects. There's docks where you can find, you know, criminals to kill and warehouses to raid and various nefarious deeds being done and all sorts of stuff like that, all rolled into one big city. And the big city is the focus, and in a lot of ways the only part of the server that the player will see throughout the prologue and most of the first couple acts.
Very cool.
Yeah, so the campaign setting itself is very simple. There's one main religion that believes in a triad of a couple gods, and all very sort of basic and easy to get into, easy to understand, but a lot of depth to that. And then to top it off, there's no magic at all. Humans, players, elves, none of that. They cannot use magic, none of that.
Okay.
Instead, there's technology, which sort of fills the gameplay role of magic without being as pervasive, I guess, as magic would be in a Forgotten Realms setting. So, you know, you have guns, you have bombs and things like that, but you don't necessarily have magic that can scry on people or make you invisible or go ethereal or things like that.
So, yeah, more of a based server, like not a fan. It's not like doesn't have that high fantasy feel to it. I mean, it's going to have like the grit feel.
Yeah. There's at the same time, though, I've still put monsters in. I mean, there's fantasy races. There's dragons and wyverns and undead and all sorts of things like that. But they exist in a setting where they're natural creatures. Like, for example, if dragons actually existed in the real world, the conception is that they'd just be fire-breathing lizards rather than these intelligent creatures that can cast spells. So no, in this setting, they're just the fire-breathing lizards. No magical dragons or beholders that can paralyze you with their laser rays or anything like that.
Very cool.
Well, no, Brian just kind of asked the question that answered a lot of this, so I'll go with one of my own. So with the way you're designing things to work with the new technology sort of aspect as opposed to magic, do you see that as, first off, I'm dying to know functionally how that works, but to make it sort of a fun two-part question, do you see that as a way that it's something that really hasn't been told before? I mean, I know there's been low magic or no magic servers before, but this really sounds like a unique twist.
Well, I guess to start with, I mean, I've done another server that was pure custom. Now, by pure custom, I mean you don't start with the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine and edit it. You start with nothing and then add all the classes and feats that you want. That's sort of my definition of custom. So with that in mind, it's actually very liberating because I don't have to deal with the development constraints of saying, well, how does this work with X class that already exists? I just have to say, okay, square one drawing board, what can I make? And in a lot of ways, that's actually made things a lot easier, like adding new feats, adding guns, adding variant rules, especially because variant rules with standard Neverwinter Nights 2 are a complete pain. You got to go and you got to edit like 1,000 spells to make it all work. But this case, I just write the rule down. It's in the game. So in terms of the actual system, it's D20 based still. I haven't gone that far, but I've used the variant rule set where armor, instead of giving AC, also gives you you roll damage reduction against attacks. That's a pretty common variant. I'm not sure if you've seen it before, but it's used in a lot of D&D games.
Yeah, I have, so, actually.
You know,
that's
awesome. Yeah, it's like D20 Modern with that variant. I've got slightly higher values for everything. Instead of going with a D&D style health, there's no leveling. It's a progression system like the one you'd see in an Elder Scrolls game.
Okay.
So you start with 100 health and 100 stamina, and as you level up, you can add to those. And then to get feats and abilities, you get them. Whenever you level up, you get like a point that you can spend on a feat or an ability. So I basically ripped that off of Elder Scrolls Online, if you've ever played that game.
No, I haven't.
That's okay. But yeah, to level up, basically, if you hit something with your sword, you get sword experience, and your one-handed skill goes up, and then you can get levels with enough of those and spend them on abilities and feats and either passive or active. You can get things like shield bash or power attack, which in this setting is you take a giant swing. I've unlocked some of the custom animations in Neverwinter Nights 2 for these. So you'll see your character take like a full 1 second to really, you know, swing back and act or something. It looks pretty cool.
That is cool. You really went all out to make this its own thing.
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, Neverwinter Nights developers went all out. They made all these animations that you never see in the game, hundreds of them, for double attacks and power attacks, cleaves, cool ones where you got two weapons and you stab them with both weapons at the same time. All sorts of really awesome stuff that never actually made it into the game.
Yeah.
Almost sad in a way, really.
It is. I mean, that's a... Yeah, there's a lot of
I'm using them, so that's my take.
That's built-in custom content, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right out of the box. Can't beat that.
No, you can't.
You know, what are some of the challenges you faced with the development that you're doing now? I mean, I know you're doing a lot of this stuff new, but have you ran into anything that really kind of had you beating your head off your computer or anything?
A couple things, actually. For one, like, I never used to do UI. When I was doing Legacy, I always avoided any UI changes, but this time I couldn't really do that. I've made it so the skill page in your character sheet now shows like progress bars for leveling your skills. The feat pane now has like a two column list where one column you select feats, the other column you use them like your regular feat page. So I've done all this custom UI. Everything is different. Basically, the journal, the character sheet. I've got some completely custom pages you can pull up. And the biggest problem with those is actually client crashes. There are so many things you can do to Neverwinter Nights 2 that will make it crash the game. It's not even funny. A lot of times you'll write a script, it'll crash the game. Rewrite that script in two parts and have the first part like call the second part as an execute script command, and it'll work. Just for no good reason, it'll work.
Oh, I know.
So for me, a lot of the challenge has just been finding the patience to sit there and try iteration after iteration of exactly the same thing until it doesn't crash. And that's been the number one problem so far. But otherwise, it's been a pretty good go. I mean, a lot of the scripts, I wrote these for Legacy, so it's kind of an easy, cheap way to make them work now. I just have to use all the animations and stuff and plug in the new rule set into old scripts, which I'm completely unapologetic about. If I wrote those scripts once, I'll use some of them again. They were quality back then.
Yeah, man. Yeah, anytime you refactor, you're saving yourself a lot of pain. You know, starting over from scratch, no doubt.
And I hope that at some point some past legacy players will come back and maybe enjoy some of the cooler abilities that I wrote for that game setting.
Absolutely. I'm sure they will. That's another thing, too, that, you know, everybody's listening. I mean, the work that Jacob had done with Legacy Dark Age of Britain, it was just awesome. And I said it back then, and I had checked it out before last interview, and it was awesome, and it still is to this day, even though it's not live anymore. But, you know, the work, it stands on its own, and the fact that, you know, it was very highly rated by everybody who ever played it. So, you know, this product's not going to be any different at all. Something else just popped into my beleaguered head here. But, so are you doing this all yourself right now, or do you have any other people working with you on it?
The engine I actually built myself. I started in around February, and I spent 4 months or so just making this engine because I wanted to have the engine mostly done before I started. So I did that myself, and now I've actually brought on a single staff member so far. He's a very, very, very talented writer. We used to be a DM on Legacy for a short period of time. And my one weakness in Neverwinter Nights 2 is I can't write very well. Everything else between like script writing, area design, I got it good, but writing, nope. So I got this guy to come and take a look at the writing, do a lot of his own dialogue, write descriptions for stuff, and I haven't gotten all of it back from him yet, but some of the stuff he sent me is stunning to say the least. That's if anyone's listening has heard of this guy, YMD or Your Magic's Denied. He used to be a pretty big player on various servers, so some people might have heard of him. He's been a pretty big asset so far. Great writer, good to bounce ideas off of, especially for story and setting stuff. So I've got me and that other guy right now, and that's it. One of the reasons I'm launching this beta actually right now, early, the sort of a demo system, is so that I can find maybe one or two more people to help out. I mean, ideally, I'd find someone to help me with areas and someone else to help me with scripts. That would probably be sufficient. I don't want a massive team like you'd find on a big server, just because I found that things can get a little political when you got too many people.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm trying definitely. To keep it. I'm trying to keep the environment a little more, a little less about me approving or denying ideas, and more about sort of a collaborative approach. With Legacy, when I was build lead, when we had a lot of builders, it was a lot of sort of, can I approve this? Should I say no to this? I mean, it wasn't an enjoyable experience having to deal with, you know, whether or not content should be accepted. So this time, I think everyone I bring on, I want to be sort of like a partner in creating ideas with. So I'm going to be not necessarily selective, but I want people to sort of come on their own or find me on their own. I'm not going to do a big recruiting push, because I think the right people are the ones who see a project online and say, hey, you know, I want to do this. This is cool. I can bring something to this. That's how I found Legacy, and that's how a lot of our best DMs found Legacy. They they would play for a while. They'd come to us on their own and say, hey, here's what I can do for your server. And in my experience, those people were the ones who really, you know, made it last, made a great impression.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always different. I mean, you know this as well as we do. I mean, you've been running a server just as long as we have, if not longer. And the fact that, you know, with people who are actually coming to you and, you know, spending their free time to help you out with stuff, like without you having to beg them to do it or, you know, putting it out there, oh, hey, we need help with it. That those people definitely end up turning out better more often than not, you know, sticking around for years. And so that's really cool that you have that going on for you.
Well, hopefully it will. I've only got one other staff member so far. So, maybe it's a little premature to say that it's a successful method, but I really hope it is.
I don't know. From my experience, I would say that it probably is, especially in your current stage of development. I think that it's probably smart to go the route you're going.
Well, I thought so too. And for me, like, I guess the only deadline I have is when people stop playing Neverwinter Nights 2. But I've taken a look at the Scry every now and again, and it seems that over the past few months, at least, it's kind of been constant.
Yes.
Not a lot of people leaving these days. It's small, certainly, the player base, but I think the people who are with Neverwinter Nights 2 are they're sticking with it. They're in for the long game. So with that in mind, I really don't have a big deadline for myself. So I'll say, you know, if it takes me a little longer to do without having to, you know, pressure people into it by being like, hey, you know, we're buddies. You should do this work for me. Then I'll do it that way. I don't think I need to. Because a lot of people out there will help you if you beg, and I don't think begging is the right way to get good content.
No. No, I'd have to wholeheartedly agree with you on that.
So for your new server that you've set up, are you planning on having things kind of work with DMs and regularly scheduled events, or are you making it a bit more freeform so it's a bit more sandbox for the players?
It's kind of both, actually. So for starters, I want the campaign to be fully automated. You can log in, you play this campaign, and you'll always have a... Like, my goal actually is for the players who don't spend an inordinate amount of time finishing things is to always have a quest in their inventory or their quest in their journal telling them to do something. So that part I want to be fairly set in stone. I want to always have some quests to do. If people run out, I'll make more.
Yeah.
That's one goal. As far as DMing, I'm not going to be implementing DMing for the sort of demo aspect, which is what I'll be releasing soon, because the main city hasn't been finished yet. All the areas aren't done. And that's going to be a pretty big job, making all these big old 20 by 20 areas and filling them with NPCs and shops and all that. But once that's done, once we're ready to do the act one of the campaign, which is actually more like an act two, it's sort of, I don't know. I got a strange naming convention, but suffice to say, once that's out, I've got the writer I'm working with, YMD, he's definitely expressed interest of doing DMing, whether that's preset parties where he'll go into the forums or elsewhere and find people to play with him, or whether that's just whoever's online remains to be seen. But I'm open to doing both. I think I would like to have it set so that DMs who come to me and say, hey, I'd like to run this campaign on your server, I like your setting, they should have whatever freedoms they need to find a party, create a party of players, and do their thing. But at the same time, if we want to have pickup events, which is sort of a standard among PWs these days, then it's a little bit more difficult to manage, because the results of those events have to be carried on into the live server, into the campaign, and into the areas. So I'm going to have to ask those particular DMs, or anyone who wants to do that, I'm actually going to have them work with players who've finished the current stages of the campaign to sort of decide what happens in the next stage. So in a lot of ways, I'm going to try to either open up new avenues for campaign acts that have been completed by allowing players to engage with DMs, or I'm going to sort of figure out what happens in the next part of the campaign by having players and DMs sort of DM out events and sort of use those results as a baseline for creating new quests, new results, new news pieces that the player will acquire, and new things to respond to later on.
Nice. It sounds like you really thought that process out already.
Yeah, well, I actually had a really good chat with YMD about this in particular, because when he came to me, he said that he would, at some point like to DM. So we had a big old chat and sort of hashed out what the DMing would look like, what the situation would be for people who wanted to DM, and for players who wanted to play DM'd events.
Well, that's part of the thing too. With a smaller group, you can get together, and you're much easier to keep everybody on the same page when it's just you and one other person. If you had a big group, trying to get schedules that everybody's on at the same time, or it can get a little bit, unwieldy. So having just you and YMD, that's really good for these types of discussions and to really hammer stuff out before.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would definitely like having more DMs, once we go live in the future. But I think that my ideal sort of interaction with them would be to sort of set up an agreement between myself and the person who wants to DM, sort of outlining, what are they going to do? What can I do to help them? What tools do they need? What areas should I build for them? Things like that. Sort of make it a bigger collaboration, because one of the problems I had on Legacy actually was sort of a disconnect between my own building work and the DMs who were doing stuff. So like one of them might, run an event without contacting me that would completely change some area I just finished building, and I'd be angry and they'd be, don't get in the way of my DMing. It got a little messy. So now that I'm trying to do admin and build lead at the same time, which is not something I did with Legacy, I think it'll be a little easier, because I'll be able to check with people so that if they're going to run this event that changes some area that I'm working on, I'm going to hold back maybe and let the event happen first. Just simple things like that to make it more collaborative experience or more collaborative finished product.
Right. And the fact that you could be working on other stuff while they're doing their event, so you're always able to have your bandwidth is proper, fully utilized at that point of the game. Yeah. So if you're not doing stuff twice, and that's mm-hmm. a really good way of looking at it too.
Yeah. In a similar vein, I'm also last time I tried to be a player and a builder, but not a DM, was sort of my goal with Legacy, and that just wasn't really a good idea. I'd rather just be a builder and maybe do occasional DMing, but trying to be a player and a builder at the same time is not a good idea.
No.
Especially if you're the main one. I think it's smart not to. I think it's smart to have characters that you can run around with and experience the game for yourself on, but trying to actually have a player that runs DM events and tries to be part of the politics is kind of a bad idea, because it really makes you prioritize your time between advancing your character and advancing the system. And this time around, I think it would have been better for Legacy, at least if I had just, you know, kept my time to making the system better, making more quests, making fixing bugs, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Very good point. Very good point. Yeah, can you talk us a little bit about the plans you have once you go live, like moving forward? Like, what are you going to be you're going to be continually adding on, continually building and stuff like that. Do you have anything that after go live that you think you might be working on with this? Or
yeah, oh man, I could talk your ear off about that in particular. But just to suffice, I'll give you sort of my 5-year plan, even though I'm not sure I'll be doing this for 5 years, hopefully, but we'll see. So to start with, I've got this prologue that's coming out. It's a very, very linear quest. It's got a few branches that you can take, but ultimately it's not open world yet. This sort of takes you through the game engine, teaches you how to play, and brings you to a point where your character is in a city with a little bit of a journal update telling them that, you know, you can, or her, I guess, that you can start this big main quest. So for the prologue, my goal is to sort of just, you know, stress test the engine, make it all good, get all that done. And my hope is that by the time I release the main plot line, that I've mostly got the engine sorted out. You know, crafting is in, all those little extra features that people like to have on PWs are in. And then after the prologue, we're going to go down for a little bit, probably have some downtime. And then during that time, I'll be implementing things, bug fixes from the feedback, ideas, anything like that. And also working on building the areas for the main city, which is a fairly big job. So after that, I'll be releasing Act 1. And from that date on, the server will stay live 24/7, 7 days a week, all year, for how many ever years I can keep this up. So then at that point, it's permanent, and players will be able to log in, complete the prologue, and enter Act 1, which is basically open world. It's kind of like Skyrim, if you've played that game, where once you're done the little prologue part, you can wander anywhere you want, talk to anybody you want to talk to, start side quests, get sidetracked completely, never finish the main quest, whatever you want to do. So once I've got the open world built for the city, I'm going to complete the campaign. The campaign's got quite a few acts involved. It's fully planned out until sort of climax ending point, which might take me a year to do, might take me 2 years. I'm not quite sure how long that's going to be. A lot of it depends on myself, other builders, whether or not we want to do side quests before the main campaign, those things. So once the main campaign's done, the expansion plan sort of goes in an order of the non-human races, because Kalidor is a very human-centric city. So I plan on doing a campaign that takes you from the main city to the Dwarf Mountains, where they've got their underground cities, with these machines that, you know, float across lava and mine things, all this very, very steampunky stuff going on in Dwarfland. So that'll be one campaign will be there, another campaign will be in the Elf City, and finally a campaign in the Gnome-controlled city. So 4 campaigns. And then if I manage to do 4 campaigns all done like that, then there'll be a fifth sort of global ending campaign that'll tie all of the previous storylines together and give like a, not necessarily an ending, but it'll be one of those endings that's also a new beginning kind of things.
Yeah.
So similar again to the Elder Scrolls games, you'll have this ending where a lot of characters will sort of show their true colors, and you'll be able to make some big decisions, and then it'll end, and you'll be able to go back into the open world and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So this is my very long term plan.
Yeah, that's an awesome plan, matter of fact. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and that's probably the best plan I've heard. 1,000-foot, 5-year plan yet. So, and having the plan's a huge thing, because that really does drive how you move forward.
Yeah, it does. I mean, even though I'm not really looking at making these second or third campaigns yet, they've sort of motivated a lot of the work I've been doing on setting up the dynamic between races, or developing the factions that exist in the main city of Kalidor. Because those things will all be connected, between big cities around the world. I mean, there's airships now in the setting, so people can fly to different cities, and that'll be a pretty quick way to transfer information and power. So yeah, that's definitely true. I've experienced that already, even just making a prologue.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool the way you have it all planned out like that. I mean, it's, it is great. I mean, well, it's going to be. I mean, you when you start a project like this, it's hard to say exactly how the time frame is going to be. Like you said, like a year, it could be 2 years, you don't know.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that goes on. Even just once you're live with your first, initial rollout, the focus is going to be on the player base and, making sure everything's running right and all that stuff. I mean, to actually, so the more you have planned out now, probably the better, in how you can incrementally implement you know, your content.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's good too, because that when I told you earlier, the focus I have on you know, improving new player experience, even when there's current players there, it's very important to me, because one of the problems I had with Legacy, at least, was we'd get lost in trying to please our current player base too much. Like, we'd be doing all these events and stuff aimed at, you know, bumping the number of people online up from you know, 15 to 20 or something. And a lot of times you lose sight of what your long-term plan is. So, I mean, one of the reasons we never actually had a long-term plan set out, which is, I guess, a problem. But so now I kind of want to avoid that by having this long plan and just the commitment to actually follow it through, at least for now. I mean, for now, I'm 100% committed to finishing the first campaign. After that, I mean, it's just, you know, more ideas and we'll see. But as long as I've got this one project that I'm committed to finishing, then I think it should be not necessarily a guarantee, but it should be a good measuring stick to see how well I'm doing after, you know, after 6 months, after a year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I want to thank you again for coming on and, you know, talking about everything that you have going on with Engines of Ascension. I mean, it's really exciting to hear that, you know, at this hour in the Neverwinter Nights today, so to speak, that you're doing all this work and, you know, really wanting to get something great out there and fresh and stuff for the community. I think it's really going to be a big benefit to the community to have your server online and, you know, gathering players. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think if anything, I'd like to sort of use this as an opportunity to give current and past players a chance to try the game out again, because the one thing that's really different about Engines from other servers is that it's just new. It's a completely new engine you'll use, new feats, learn a new game. It's a chance to experience Neverwinter Nights 2 in a way that's just, you know, you haven't experienced it before. So I'm hoping that even if players don't want to stick around and, you know, try the DM stuff, that they give the campaign a run, you know, enjoy it, maybe leave some feedback, give me either a thanks or a hey, you can improve this here, and move on, even if that's all they want to do.
Yeah. Definitely, and I think you will. I mean, the people were, you know, in our experiences, people have been very helpful in, you know, giving feedback and really helping to contribute to the overall success of the project. So, yeah, that's one thing about the Neverwinter Nights 2 community that, you know, I've experienced, and I'm sure you have with Legacy, that there's a lot of people out there that are willing to lend a hand in one way or another.
Oh yeah, I mean, back in the Legacy heyday, if I released a balance update for classes, I could have five or six players post their opinions immediately after doing some testing online. I mean, it was the feedback was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, not something I would expect to see in such a small community, but it's there, and players are very committed to giving it more often than not.
Yeah, definitely. That, like you said before, I mean, you said it perfectly about player base may not necessarily be, you know, growing at an exponential rate or, you know, even all that scalar at this point of the game, but the fact that the people who are playing are in it for the haul. And that's this type of reaction you see whenever players are into it that much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. And especially I like what happens when someone just buys the game and comes onto the BioWare forums or anywhere else and says, hey, I'm new. And you should see the responses they get. All these people coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, you know, here's some advice, here's some service to try, here's some updates. You know, someone's got a bug or something like that with their updater, you know, there'll be five or six people willing to, you know, send them their own copies of updates and stuff to make it work for them.
Uh-huh.
So having a community like this it's a great thing.
It is. It really is. And especially for all the years that it's been going on like this. So it's definitely something that, you know, I don't know. It makes me want to continue to work on it just like you do. And, you know, it makes a big difference, no doubt. So, you know, I want to thank you again for coming on. And if you have any updates or, you know, whatever, you know, even though this is our last official episode, you know, that we're going to be having, it definitely feel free to give me a ping, and I'll be happy to have you back on for your release and for any other updates that you'd like to get out there. You know, I would be more than happy to do another episode for you.
Oh, sure, Brian, and thanks. It's good to come on your show again and have a little chat. I'm actually just, if anyone's interested, I'm going to be releasing Engines within the next week or two. Actually got a convention coming up too, but so do I. I'm going to a SOE Live this coming week.
Very nice. And, very nice.
Yeah. So after that, I'll be releasing for sure if I don't do it this weekend. A lot of it depends on FTP and all sorts of some nasty server stuff, but the prologue will be up very soon. I'll be playing through it. I'll be listening to responses on the official BioWare forums, where you can see I've got a thread set up called Engines of Ascension, if you want to check that out. And at some point there'll be a forums and stuff, but for now just that particular thread, and go on the live server, see what you know see what it is.
And we will have all that information on our show notes if you're listening, so you can check it out and you know, maybe even throw a few posts out so you can actually get some words in. So that'd be great. And for all listening, we'll our next episode is in 1 week, and we will be recording episode 199 live from Gen Con and episode 200 from Gen Con as well. So stay tuned, and we'll have all our footage and everything, our production stills and things like that, and our itinerary we're going to be posting on our Facebook page and on our forums, so that, you know, if you're going to be in the area and you're going to be checking out Gen Con, you know, you can swing by and some of our public appearances. And, you know, Ben and myself and Mad Mage will be out there and, you know, milling about smartly through the convention. We have a lot of stuff planned this year. So, you know, definitely check out our coverage and stay tuned. You know, we'll be posting regular updates on Facebook as we go through and some of our other social media outlets. So, you know, definitely stay tuned and, you know, we'll catch you next week. Until next time, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.